I'm going to have Kiahi read part of the Pulse of Spirit from this week and expand on it, and then we will open the space for continued conversation. And as we've done in the past, when you're complete, it's up to you to discern who gets the mic next rather than have people grab for it. So, I mean, you can raise your hand and the person who's just finished will discern.
So this is a portion talking about how easy it is to pick on the valleys in a human experience, the peaks, high points in the valleys, the low points. And we can pick on that so easily within ourselves and each other. So it is easy to pick on the valleys in human experience. That Gettysburg battlefield is such a valley. What an absolutely desperate time. And yet, in those few simple words, Abraham Lincoln exalted that valley in the Gettysburg Address. There are those who exalt the mountains, and the mountains are beautiful, but that's the easy part. We are here to exalt the low places in life, and even the low places in one another, to lift up the places that show lack of understanding, lack of love, lack of maturity, when we find them. We live in a world that wants to find a low place in another person and then crush them like a bug. Our future as humanity lies in lifting each other up. Sunrise Ranch is about that. David says, continues on and says, my life is about that. And I want to say that too. My life is about that. Think of how I'm doing this in my life, to myself, to others, in my check-in of the medicine that I want to bring, that I feel I have been bringing, as Jane invited in the chant. I said, holding the place of the Most High while inviting the Most High. I mean, that's a big order right there. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I live to bring, to hold that place where heaven can be known on earth, where we can bring light to the valleys and still live fully together in love and light, inviting the Most High. If you think about it, you could flip it around. That valley becomes the mountain peak. What is it? Is it yin yang? What is it? Dark and light? You know, I'm not saying that to ignore the valleys. I'm saying to let's live fully in those valleys and bring the fullness of ourselves so then others can do the same. That will change humanity. And I believe this is what Sunrise Ranch is about. I believe this is what we're here for.
Talking about the blessing, not just the highs, but the lows as well, made me think about a quote I had heard that says, there are two ways to react to suffering in this world. I've suffered, so why shouldn't they? Or the second kind, I suffered, so I don't want you to have to go through what I did. And I made a choice a long time ago that I want to be the second type of person.
I guess what I'd like to emphasize is how easy it all is. When I was in England, I learned something about my ancestry, the Bibi part of my family. I had thought it was a French ancestry. Turns out, no, it's ancient Anglo-Saxon. There's even a town in Leicestershire named Bibi. And it has to do with them being beekeepers. And the bees make it so easy. People have wondered how they get this hexagonal structure in their combs. Did one bee learn how to make a hexagon and teach the other bees? They all crowd together into the hive and shove and push and make wax, and it naturally forms. It can't do anything else but form a hexagon, because just giving to nature. And that bees all, you know, well, that's a community of bees. What about the spider who lives alone? People have wondered how the spider can make such a beautiful web. Oh, it figures out and measures it off, and all it does is runs this thing along and puts some glue on it for the, and then twangs it like a violin string, and the little, all the beads of glue line up in proper order, and it builds. Anyway, I'm just saying how easy it all is if we listen to spirit.
Thank you, Dorian. I just have to expand on the bees, if you allow me. And so the hexagon is 6 points. It's somehow the Star of David structure. And it's the triangle pointing downward from the heavens and the triangle pointing upward from the earth. And what the bees do, they bring through the flowers, the sunlight, into the earth, in the golden honey. And that's such a beautiful example of divine design. And they just listen and obey and have their own intelligence in that coherent system. Yeah. They touch me. And there's something else I want to say. There's a Pueblo poem that tells, we are the ones we have been waiting for. We are in this fast-moving river, and when we hold on to the shore, we will suffer greatly. So we swim and gather and help each other. And the image that comes to me for our community is that we are on a ship in a fast-moving river, sometimes in rapids, sometimes it looks like a raft, in a fife. And that ship needs wise guidance. Yeah, the focal point, the leadership gives that. But we are growing now to a time where the sovereignty that we each receive, so that we can be the sovereigns of the earth, that we all wake up in that enlightened thinking and that awareness, and that we all are the sovereigns of our shared collective field. We are leading all, and at the same time we are listening to the leadership. Also, when that leadership of the sovereign speaks to one of us, to you, or to you, or to you.
And listening to Keahi read those words about the mountains and the valleys, I've come to recognize that, you know, there's high points and low points and everything in between, and that life, for me, my experience of it is there's ebb and flow, and there's seasons for things. And living out here in the foothills at the ranch really has helped me understand that things happen in seasons and that ebb and flow, and that nature does it all the time. Our culture tends to put a lot of emphasis on the high points, right? Always being happy and excited and motivated and productive. It's like on the end of the spectrum where the natural ebb and flow, it's not like recognized at all. And one of the things that I love about my Jewish heritage is that it's mandated that we take a day of rest, whether that's a full day or, you know, whatever, and however that looks to you. You know, a lot of modern Jews like unplug. like do a technology fast. But in our culture, our wider culture, that's like go, 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 produce, 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 more, more, more. We forget how important rest is, how important the valleys are in, and dormancy, like winter is going to be coming soon. We might have snow in like a week or two, I heard. but how important that is, important. You know, everyone has their own balance of the amount of sleep they need or that, and everyone has to determine, I think, for themselves. But it's like those, that is so necessary, the rest, the ebb, and the ebb, and the valleys, in order to experience the mountains. And I know that as a whole culture and here and among each other, like honoring that, that, you know, I'm a generally happy person, but it doesn't always, it's not always the case every single moment. And like, we all have those things, and honoring that within, with each other, and knowing that, okay, we're doing it.
Honoring, I like that. It's pulling up another thing for me to, in those valleys, you know, honoring what's happening and coming around those that need upliftment and those that need surround, honoring them in their cycle, in their process, and doing what's ours to do, you know, so then they can get through that valley. You know, you can think of a time, I'm sure, a few times in your life where you were in that valley and those that were on the mountaintop came down and helped you and brought you up. But you had to lift yourself up. They helped you along. They encouraged you. But you had to find that in you, you know, to do that. But it came with the help of those around you. Holding steady, protecting, honoring that space, what's possible. And in that honoring, you honor what's happening in the moment.
Thanks, Kiahi. There is a story been told to me. I don't know the source of it, but I believe it's true that in some indigenous cultures, when someone breaks the law or violates the community, they are put in the middle and the community sings them back to their sanity, loves them back into what's real about them, sings their song, like in some indigenous cultures, everybody has their own song. What's occurring for me right now is singing a person's song just because they need support. They don't have to go be into the destructive behavior, but just because they could use it. And we don't have to be looking around, well, who looks like they need me to sing their song? Mm-hmm. Our own radiance reads the field so that we might, in fact, sing a person back into the highest of their radiance and their participation. And I personally have had the experience of people holding something for me when I really could have used it. You know, we do attunements for people when they're physically uncomfortable or having surgery or just could use some additional radiant support. Sometimes that's just because you're confused, your heart is tender. It doesn't have to be crisis oriented. It's just having the atmosphere be wholesome, healthy, and strong.
It's interesting, as I was listening to Kiahi read and thinking about the valleys, and it has come to be in my experience more and more, as Dorian said, easy. The more masterful it, in allowing what is true to my nature, really, to come through, and knowing how to access that, even in the valleys, what I have found, you know, especially recently, I mean, still the experience of walking through the valley of the shadow of death with my mother, you know. And where that walking in a place of just being totally guided, and it turns the valley into the mountain. It's the victory. I mean, I don't know much how much more I can add to that, but it's just, it is a profound knowing that the valley is where it's at.
Kind of off of this example Jane was speaking to with singing each other's songs, I think a piece to that as well is like in the very practical way of reminding each other of our light and reminding each other of our strengths. And when we can't see what we're bringing or what we're doing, reminding each other of like what we've done and what we see in each other, and, you know, being able to lift each other up, and absolutely vibrationally, absolutely. But there's a piece to like really verbalizing it as well. And Karen, when you were speaking of the valley as a place of rest, I've never really thought of it like that before. I always thought of like the mountaintop is, you know, when we're excelling, and the valley is when we're messing up. You know, I've never looked at it as a point of rest. And what occurred to me when you were speaking was how important it is to take the space to move into the valley as a rest point. Because if we don't, and we keep trying to climb that mountain, climb that mountain, climb that mountain, we're going to get tired and we're going to fall into that valley. And then we didn't make that choice. You know, we just tumbled down the mountain and we fell in that valley. Now we're struggling to get back up. And so the importance of recognizing as we're climbing that mountain when it's time to take rest and it's time to recharge and it's time to recenter and remind ourselves what we're doing and really why we're doing this. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because if it's for you, if you're doing it for you, then most likely, you know, you've lost that point of connection. The action that we take, the creations that we're making should be, and I'm going to should, for our world. And so, yeah, there's beauty in that, choosing to enter the valley to rest instead of being forced into the valley because we didn't take the time and the self-care that we needed to continue to climb.
I like this topic. And I'm thinking about the peaks and valleys, and I can't help but reflect on, you know, my own experience and relating it to experience itself as peaks of like the high points of life and valleys as like the low points of life. And there's this natural, well, I mean, it's a part of life, right? With the cycles, it happens. Like we all have those different times, different points. And I kind of want more of the peaks than the valleys because they feel good, you know? And there's this whole thing around learning and growth where I learn more in the valleys and they help me hit the next peak. And the beauty of duality, in a way, is the distinction that provides the dimension of like the beautiful spectrum of experience and feelings of life from the highs and the lows. And then this part of us that like wants to, you know, it's get more of the good stuff and cut out the stuff that we don't like, the pursue the pleasure and avoid the pain. And how that's the trap of it all, it feels. Like that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the trying to, I don't know, like make my world and just, because there's this other perspective I see of where it's all just happening and it's temporal. Like my life moves in these cycles. Sometimes there's here and sometimes there's there. And like at the end of the life, it's just shadows on a wall, their experiences. And in this space of oneness where it is beyond the temporal into the eternal, there's that range of unconditional, that pure something different that transcends all the highs and lows. My source. Something in that eternal that I can turn to that like will always feed me. And it goes beyond what I think is good or bad or victory or failure or all those other either or terms, where it's just, it's part of life and there's a gift in it. And I can love in it regardless, myself, others, my world, everything. Because it'll pass. This too shall. And it's all beautiful, depending on how I look at it. Thanks.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome home. I love this piece about the rest, because I've been really pondering deeply today as I caught up on my last two readings for FSC. And this idea that if I'm responding to the power of Source that's coming to me, rather than focusing or responding or reacting to the pressure and the pain, I mean, because there's going to be both, then I'm starting to understand how, if I'm not doing that, there is no rest. It feels like I'm not dropping into the divine design, and there is this continued pushing because there's something missing. And whenever I could be in a cocoon for a year, and I still would be tired. So it's just like, wow. And thank you, Dorian, for saying, is it that simple? I guess it is. And then the rest is just that moment to take it all in and have the incredible inspiration and live life force to pick up and do the next thing that's mine to do. So I'm just really ruminating in that delicious teaching. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Well, I think of planet Earth as the Garden of Eden, and we've got a valley called Eden. And I think that there's many things that look very sparse and very distorted at every level. This valley was just rocks and dirt and some trees. I'm sure it was very beautiful, and yet there's a garden being planted here, and we're all part of that. It's a garden that's more than vegetables and animals. And the whole earth is that way too. So you could say that the earth is a valley in consciousness. And I don't think there's anything that needs to be excluded. It's just the toxic way things are put together when the identity is at the level of just the mind and the heart, the body and the capacity. And I think everyone has so much spirit at the core that created them that it's not difficult, as you were saying, to start saying, rise up, my love, to yourself. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And we're not rejecting anything. We're lifting up. We're filling it with life. And we're not judging it, we're just calling it back to order and to beauty and to a greater consciousness of collective function that we have been isolated out of. And there is great glory to be. I can't tell you from present experiences some great glory coming, but I know it's coming. It's some great glory that we could experience together. And we honor all those people that are coming from all over the world. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you.
So I'm thinking about these valleys, and I'm thinking about how important they are, because they create depth and substance. And without depth and substance, I feel like you become uninteresting, quite frankly. And nervous laughter actually gets filled into a room, which actually creates enough peaks, which is a deadline. And I feel like the importance of gaining depth and substance through the complete relishing, actually, in the valley is so that when your peaks show through, they are these undeniable, attractive allurement mechanisms of magnetism that actually grow the joy, because it comes from depth and substance and wisdom and courage and fierce vitality of victory.
I'm in agreement. When I traveled to Yucatan, I met the Maya medicine man and I visited the several pyramids. And he said, here you have that pyramid, here you have that pyramid, and you are that pyramid. So when we project it inside ourselves, we are that pyramid. And we have, or that mountain. The Peruvian shamans say, we don't need pyramids, we have the mountains. And I often experience myself as that pyramid with that wide foundation connected in the earth, as you mentioned, Rachel, really grounded in the depth of our being, where everything dwells, also the things we still have to take care of, the opposites. And in the highest top, there's this light and that sovereignty and the sunlight and the crystalline air. So you are a mountain, you are a mountain, you are a pyramid, you are. And we stand together in that valley, on that same ground and earth.
Thank you, Vood. I appreciate that we're talking about this from the standpoint of the mountain. We are speaking about this as being from conscious being, even thinking of the valleys as sacred, restful things. I'd like to just mention that some of the reason, or some of what was moving through me in the service on Sunday, and this piece is from the service a week ago, was also that valleys have a lot to do with the destructive way human beings are to themselves. You know, the predator way in which, when we're down there, we go after each other. I mean, David says the thing about we see someone in a valley and we end up not helping but stomping on them. And we do that to ourselves as well. So while we're talking about this from a high plane of being, I also want us to be conscious of part of what we're speaking about is that's not what a lot of people do. We tend to get destructive and repetitive in our ways of being destructive, because we don't hold the place that where the valleys. I mean, if you're speaking about the highs and lows of a conscious human life, that's very different than being in a broken place and having yourself attack yourself and having someone else attack you too. So just to make that really conscious, that's part of what's being addressed here, is like lifting up things that have been broken and not handled properly, so that they no longer continue to be in a destructive pattern.
I could sort of add to that, I guess. My experience with being in valleys, I think some of us, when we're in a valley, tend to dig ourselves a hole, basically. Instead of, we try to lift ourselves out of it, and instead all of that furious activity just digs us deeper into it. And especially if we try to lower other people to, you know, misery loves company or something, or, you know, just by relativity, it seems to raise us up if we if we lower everybody else. And the surprising thing really is that if you're in the midst of that, the best thing to do is to give up lifting yourself up and try to lift up other people. Then you come up out of the valley. It's ironic, but that's something that I try to remind myself of when I'm in a valley.
I had an experience yesterday where I had plenty of time to make choices about my attitude and what was going on. Coming back from Denver, my GPS took me through the back road, so I was on 66 coming from the I-25, and my car sputtered and died and went out, and I pulled over to the side, and I was like, I have these idiot lights, you know, and one of them says, well, the one that's been on for the last week is oil change required soon, so it's not even now yet, because then the next light will be that, you know. But underneath that light would have been the low fuel light, you know. So it blocked out that other one, so I ran out of gas. So I called AAA, and this was like 4:25, and, you know, very pleasant. I'm so glad I got you, and somebody be right out. We'll give you priority, you know, and all that. So waited 5 minutes, and usually they're supposed to text you and tell you when they're coming. So 45 minutes go by, and so I call back, and she goes, well, let me put you on hold and see. She goes, it's Hamilton Towing out of Longmont, and they're going to send you a text. They said it's going to be 45 minutes more. So, okay, 45 minutes more. So I have time sitting there in my car, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I didn't want to use up all the battery on my phone or because I needed to have that. But I could, you know, and I didn't want to charge it off of the other battery, all these things. Cars whizzing by, you know, wondering if any of them are going to come over and hit me. So the emotions, you know, you have a choice, you know. I can get angry. I can feel victimized. I can beat myself up and say, what an idiot I am to not look for these things besides the idiot lights. So all of these things are happening. Or I can take this time to do some spiritual work, you know. So I have this unity song that I sing, God is here, God is now, you know, and put myself in that space. And the 45 minutes go by, and I still don't hear anything. And so, you know, by this time, I got to pee. You know, it's been an hour and a half. So, you know, now there's more stress coming in on me. And how do I stay in that good, calm place, you know? Well, I called them. The Hamilton was only 10 minutes away from me. I could have walked that far in an hour and a half, you know. So I called the gal, and she goes, well, you're in line. You're next. You're next. And I said, well, shouldn't you have told AAA, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But I didn't lose my cool. I wasn't angry at her or anything. So she goes, it'll be another half hour or 45 minutes. So by this time, I really do have to do some looking at myself, you know. Why do I have these feelings inside of me when it's just, I'm just sitting here, you know. There's nothing mad, horrible going on in my life, you know. I missed a dinner with Garden House Gals at Baitong, but still, you know, I'm safe. I'm okay, you know. So I got to do a lot of releasing some of those old patterns and things about that. And, you know, then there's the, once you get in that place, then you can radiate good energy. I had somebody tell me one time, we're in the place where we are because of the energy matrix that we are building and creating with everybody. And if I wasn't supposed to be sitting by that field and that oil derrick right there for some reason, you know, then maybe it is for me to put out this good energy. So I did that. So by the time the guy got there, and he drove up in his own car, I swear it was his own car, and put gas in my car and everything. And so after I gave him a good, healthy tip, and I said, I really appreciate you. I'm so glad that you're here. And I said, did they tell you how long I waited? And he said, oh, and that's what I said. I've been here 2.5 hours. And he said, oh, my gosh. And he said, you're not mad and anything? You're not angry? And I said, I have been practicing on my attitude adjustment. You know? And he said, ma'am, you did a really good job because I didn't even know it. You know? So, you know, we do have choices in just everyday living. And what we put ourselves through in the valleys can be just that, you know, what we're putting ourselves through.
I did this workshop up in Riverdale on the one law, and there was this person in the audience who threw a quote out from Viktor Frankl or something. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Your story reminded me of that.
Yeah, that was a very stimulating story. It reminded me of how when Pat was talking about the flailing around in the valley, when we don't take responsibility for our circumstances, that there is the potential to create these wildly outrageous stories. Like, wildly outrageous. And it reminded me of a dinner I had earlier this week. I went out to dinner with a previous lover of mine. And Jeff had taken me, we went down to Boulder, and he went to the gym, and I went out to my dinner. And we had a great dinner. It was awesome. And Jeff and I went home later that night, and my friend went to sleep at his hotel. And he woke up the next morning with this, like, wild, outrageous email from his wife, like, thinking that he had this passionate night with a lover. And my friend didn't think anything of it. He just went to sleep. And he's like, no, we just, like, really just went to dinner. But, like, the mind, how crazy it gets when you feel like you're in lack, or when you feel like there's a competition, or when you feel like there's something keeping you away from what you want in some way, the outlandish stories that you tell yourself, right? Like, you could have easily told yourself, JJ, all this wild stuff about how they didn't care about you at the place, and, you know, all the things that you can have when you deal with tow truck people, but that didn't happen. And, you know, it just goes to show you how steady the mind can be, and how predatory the mind can be when it's out of alignment. It needs a little gas put into it.
Okay, let's all give thanks for JJ's bladder. God, that is one of the most painful things, is having to go to the bathroom and having nowhere to go. On a highway, it's a little tough to just go squat.
Open two doors. Open between.
I would like to invoke and magnify that we are speaking about choice and atmosphere and radiance, and we have the opportunity over this next part of our life to be doing this together, and not calling each other out when we're not doing it, but really appreciating each other when we are, and creating an atmosphere of welcome and courage to be your unique self in how you do that. There are ways in which we end up trying to be our unique self just as a way of being contrary to the culture, when in fact that's not probably who we are. It's another way of being identified, is counterculture is more important than culture. So even in the context of what would be the greatest blessing for Sunrise Ranch would be the greatest blessing for you as well, just thinking in those terms. And I know there have been times where people have felt like they didn't fit here. And most of the time it's because they haven't let themselves live. And I invite you to be present, be radiant, and allow something wonderful to happen in this next week, this next month, and this next year. Thank you, everybody.